So check, radio check.
This is KK4, JBQ.
KK4, JBQ, KO4, NUE.
Key. Hello, Chad.
You doing all right tonight?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. I'm just watching some TV. I heard someone call a radio check, and I hope they got it.
And you, Miss Donna still gone?
Not bad.
Before NUE, just wanted to see if Miss Donna's still gone. And how you doing?
KK4 JBQ, I am doing as well as I can, being a bachelor for almost a week. And she is still in Rhode Island. She'll be returning Saturday, sometime around 6, I take it. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I've been building me a ham shack outside of the house, so I've been working on that for the past 4 or 5 days. And I'm tired and sore. My goodness, I'm sore. But I've got it in the dry and before the rains come, so it's time to start giving some thought to how I want to lay it out, because I've got a lot to think about as far as the layout goes.
Well, most certainly you have done the labor to get it in the dry. That's how you have to leave it. Good going. You pushed hard, but you always push. Those of us who know you know that about you. And you need to get some good rest. I'll be here as long as you want to talk, but you need some good rest.
KO4 NUE. Well, I'm so tired I can't sleep. You know what I mean? It's kind of, I guess, just trying to figure out how I want to lay the thing out. And got it on my mind and can't sleep for trying to figure out what I'm going to do next. Not sure how I'm gonna get the RF in there, or get all the coax. Way I've got it in the ham shack here in the house, I don't like it. But I can, you know, I have to worry about things being pretty in the house. But in the ham shack, I don't have to worry so much about that. But I just want it to work, and I'm thinking about a patch panel. What do you know about that?
KK4 JBQ with KO4 NUE. Patch panel is exactly what I had in mind. If you're putting a window in this attached structure, they make MFJ has two or three, depending on how many patch throughs you want to do. If you want to do ladder line as well as coax, all of it is weatherproof, and that's really the thing that you need to focus on, is to have a wet side and a dry side. Of course, the shack is the dry side. Patch panel is perfect.
I'm thinking about stay?
Well, I guess it just depends on what frequency I'm running on. But I want to get me an amp for HF. I just don't think BNC is going to be able to, the smaller BNC is going to be able to handle that. And I know in the military we have some pretty big BNCs, but I'm not able to locate any of that size. I'm sure they're out there, but I just haven't had much success with it.
Sir, the size of your coax is going to dictate something. It has a lot to say about what connector you use. If you're going to use the what you have used before, that's too beefy for a regular BNC. And an end connector is the next best thing. There are a lot of different types of connectors. I have learned that we amateurs are only aware of a few because they're commonly used. And the others are available, but not through the normal channels, you might say. But end connectors are. And you can use a LMR-600 if you want to with an end connector.
DHRON?
Tonight, sir. KO4NUE. You doing all right?
RON? I'm doing well. I had cataract surgery a couple of weeks ago, and that's doing very well. So I'm very happy with that. Has improved vision somewhat. I have two things for you on your conversation here. One, you might look at the site for Kilo Foxtrot 7 Papa Metal Works Whiskey Echo Romeo Kilo Sierra. I think his, if you look up www.kilofoxtrot7papa.com, he makes and sells entry boxes. I got one of his. They're expensive, but very nicely designed. And you might want to watch his videos because I'm sure you can build something very similar. Come in is my question. How are you going to heat your shack? Over.
I'm not sure yet. I am considering wood heat, actually. But we burn firewood. That's, you know, what we heat the house with. And I've got a couple of small stoves down there in the barn that would do nicely for that, but I don't know. I'm getting a little older and having to do so much manual labor, just, I don't know, I may just put propane in and be done with it. I think it's kind of funny, actually. I went and priced a building. This guy down the road builds them, and 16x12 was about $8,000, and I said, I'm not paying that. So I've been working for the past week to build me a 16x12, and I've probably got $1,500 in it to this point. But it's all about, it's not about material, it's about how much pain you're willing to endure. So, and I figured out that's worth a lot.
Might try for the pain. I've got stuff that I use for leg cramps. I think it will also help on pain as far as muscle type stuff. It's called TheraWorks, TheraWork, CVS and others sell it in a little pumper. Get the foam, not the gel. You pump it up into your hand and smear it all over whatever is ailing you. It works fantastically for leg cramps within a couple of minutes. Over.
How does that? Well, I'll give it a look-see. But, Larry, you go ahead, but I didn't mean to leave you out.
problem here. I'm learning things too. appreciate the additional information. Okay, so if you've got your coax in the shack and you've got a window, the pass-through is patch panel is a good thing. And a great idea about the, how do you heat it. I was just trying to think on another level. Is that have anything to do with how well the shack or the radio performs? Or that's what was on my mind. I don't suppose so. Will this be attached to the building and closed off or accessible to the rest of the building? I'm just trying to make a picture in my mind.
I don't know. I haven't got to that point. I basically got a rectangle with, free space, 16 by 12. So I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to lay it out. I think this is the first time I've built barns and sheds and things like that, but because of the radios, I'm actually, considering, cardinal directions as far as how I want to lay things out, which I thought was kind of interesting because, it's never been an issue before. But now I'm considering, because since I've got a bunch of solar stuff, I'm pretty good with solar. So I got the building positioned right so I can get some sun, and so now I've got to figure out how to lay the panels out, which now you got to bring the power in, you got to keep it separate from the RF, and it's just. It's a lot to think about. It's not just trying to fill a box, So I'm trying to put some thought into it.
Well, the more thought you put into it, the less labor you'll have to put into it. another thing to think about would be I don't know what sort of roofing, tie it into the existing roof or have a shed type roof. But you want your shack to be watertight. No problems with that. And then outside, I suppose you have coax going to an antenna that's close, well, at least within 100 feet, maybe. A mast, maybe. A rotor, maybe. Good grounding system. That'll be important, too. Yeah, there is a lot of thinking, a lot of irons in the same fire. KK4JBQ.
You're definitely right. I don't know. I've got a set of Mosleys that were damaged, and I've done some welding on the beams to get them back to nominal size. Thinking about using that, but I don't know. I'm just so happy with the dipole. I'm not sure I want to experiment with anything else, but the type of antenna is going to dictate, how much space it commands. So, I don't know. It's a lot of thought, but like I figure things out, but I gotta get the building finished first, and I've got tar paper on the top until I can get the shingles on it. So that'll be the next step, is getting that knocked out. And usually, if I just think about it enough, I'll figure things out. But I've got to get it so far in the process before I can do that. That's just the way my mind works, I guess.
Indeed, Arwen. Things. One about your heat. When I was in Korea, we had little pot-bellied stoves that burned diesel fuel. We'd hook up a 5-gallon can, and about 3 or 4 in the morning, it would run out, and we would be cold. These were in little Quonset huts, two-man rooms, basically the size of the room you're talking about. We finally found a duct fan that came out of one of the vans, mounted that about 2 feet above the stove, pointing down at the stove, and after that, we had plenty of heat everywhere and only used one can every night. So you might think about whatever kind of stove you have, putting a fan above it to spread the heat all around your room. And I also have something else for you as far as setting up. Over.
Well, I've got some Stirling fans that work pretty well up at the deer camp. I've got a wood stove up at the deer camp. I keep a Stirling fan on it. And it does an excellent job, you know, for a small space. So that would be a pretty good option. But I'm gonna try the Mosley side. I don't know. It's just a lot to think about because they need to be, you know, rotated. And there's, a whole set of complexities that come with that. Sometimes, I guess in my mind, when you have a whole lot of choices, if you can just limit the amount of choices you have, that just simplifies things. So, and, you know, two dipoles, north, south, east, and west, and you just kind of flip the switch. That makes things pretty simple. And if I can get to it with a dipole, I probably don't need it.
First idea is setting up your equipment. Most people push their equipment right up against the wall and then have to stand on their heads to hook up the various cables for power and grounding and whatever. What I would like to do, and if I were going to build a shack like you're talking about, I would have the equipment desk, if you will, several feet from the wall so that I can walk behind the table to get to all the equipment backs to hook up the wiring. And then I would run the wiring up to a cable run, if you will, above the desk, or so that all the cables would go up, or you could go down to ground so that all the cables are out of the way. You can walk behind the operating desk and get to all your equipment from behind. Most people don't have that much room, but if you're designing something, you might think about that, because that will make things a whole lot easier rather than have to drag stuff out to get to the back of the equipment, and that might be something that you can think about. The other is on the antenna. The one I'm using now is a Delta Loop, and I've talked all around with it on just about all the frequencies from 10 through 40, and very easy to build, easy to put up, and it's very effective. I've covered all kinds of stations in Europe, hear all kinds. Tried to reach Crete today, could hear him very well, but couldn't get through because of the pileup. Over.
Understand. I do some work for Mars program, and well, not work, just traffic, I guess. it's just nice to have options, you know. But, like I said, I just got to get to a point to where I can start thinking about, you know, antennas and locations and things like that, where I'm going to put things. But I picked out the best spot I could pick, I guess. And now that I've got it in the drive, we've got some rain coming, I can get out there and do some thinking about, you know, how I want to lay things out. So that'll be kind of fun, I guess. But anyway, Larry, go ahead. KO4NDV.
KK4JBQ. Yeah, what Ed was saying about the Delta Loop, I understand that that's a really nice antenna. It gives you some options as well, depending on whether you feed it at an intersection or somewhere along the side, at the side or at the intersection. I think I remember that it lets you choose whether to be vertically or horizontally polarized. Maybe one of you are more up on that. I do want to mention before I turn loose of this that if you're insulating the building, don't forget the floor. Insulating the floor will help keep the heat that you generate inside the building. Yeah. And the last thing before I let go of this, you were talking to me earlier about a folded dipole. Was that in regard to this construction?
Well, not exactly. I've got a friend who is looking for a folded dipole on not a regular frequency. It's not going to transmit. It's not going to transmit on it. But that's got me thinking. What if I want to build one to transmit on? So how do you determine that length? And where do you put the radius for the bends? And then there's the whole, well, it's a loop. And the center lead goes to one and the coax goes to the other. That sounds like a dead short to me. But I know there's some weird stuff happening in there. So I'm just trying to figure things out.
Well, that can be the case with RF. What would be a dead short at DC acts differently at RF. You're right about that. But folding a dipole, a major reason to do that is the space you have to deploy it. When folding it, you must keep the fold, the runs of wire, spaced well enough away that they don't really interact. Just look at the extremes. If you fold on a 4-inch, at least, radius on one end, and you don't let the thing touch, then you don't have a short, and they won't interact badly. If you want to shorten a wire when tuning an antenna, you wrap it, you coil it around the other wire, and that effectively shortens the thing. Don't want to do that. You want to keep its length and just fold it over. I hope I described that well enough. Ed, what do you think?
with the folded dipole, read some about it. My problem here was I didn't really have room between two trees to set up anything more than 50 feet long. That's where I've been real happy with the Delta Loop. It's 44 feet on each leg. My entry point is at the bottom. You were talking about polarization. Mine is sloped at 45 degrees. I'm getting the best of both worlds, both vertical and horizontal, as I understand it. I had to slope it that way because of the terrain I'm on. But I'm getting stations as far as away as South Africa. I've talked to Alaska once at the right timing, to Australia, and all kinds of European countries. The Baltic countries, Finland, Norway, Sweden, Moscow, a couple days ago. And so I've been real happy with the Delta Loop. It's pointing due east, but I'm getting the Caribbean and the Canadian stations. I only have four states left, western states, that I haven't been able to get, and I think mainly because they're not on. Over.
I can see that. And I've also read about a Delta Loop which, using phasing, you can have the feed point switchable. I can't really describe that, but anyway, you could have a Delta Loop that is switchable between whether you feed it along a side or feed it at an intersection. And I do think that's a very interesting antenna. But back to the Delta Loop, its major advantage is you can put a lengthy antenna in a smaller space by folding over both ends. And anyway, great conversation, guys. KK4JBQ.
The length, mine is 132 feet total, 44 feet on each side. And like I said, I'm feeding it at the bottom, and I've seen some articles about feeding it from different locations on the sides or on the top. It becomes essentially an inverted V for some people. So it has all kinds of possibilities. I was very surprised when I put it up. I'm on the eastern side of a mountain. I expected to get mostly North Carolina and east stations because I'm at the western part of Carolina. My first station was Mesa, Arizona. My second one was Quebec, and my third was Cyprus. So I've been very happy with it. Over.
You ought to be happy. Sounds like you, I won't say you stumbled onto something, but it sounds like it was a sound design to consider and put up. Glad to hear you've had such success with it. Go ahead, Chad.
Hi, KO4NUE. So other than that, Perry's doing well in shop. He's got a lot of work and has got things figured out. And I'm telling you, he's very talented. And I'm not saying that because he's my son. I mean, if he couldn't weld, I'd be the first to tell you. But that's the kind of stuff he's doing is just. It's, to me, it transitions into a little bit of art. I know that sounds weird, but I mean, he knows how to manipulate that puddle. And even Dad commented the other day. Dad said, I think the boy's got me. So, and that's saying a lot for Dad, so I'm kind of impressed.
K4JBQ. That is certainly a great thing to hear. But you're not only his father, you are his teacher. And so if he does very well, He's got some natural talent for sure. But a good teacher is, well, I've had a few and they're everything. KK4JBQ. There seems to be like a really bad reaction to the environment. It's not necessarily what he's it's what his skin is coming in contact with. The skin is the biggest organ in the body, and it's the one organ that protects all the rest. So it's really made of the right stuff to keep most things away from you, but he's in a different world when he's welding, using exotic gases, and who's to know what melting those metals at those temperatures releases a gas that his skin is protecting him from, and his skin is being compromised. I don't know if it's common that welders have such issues. It might be his issue alone, but are there not protections from like a long glove or a long sleeve shirt all the time? I don't know if that, you know, fireproof, of course, because there might be sparks that, well, you know what I'm saying. I'm just pointing out that the skin is the first organ that's going to be affected by anything that's pretty bad stuff. KK4JBQ.
Allergies and stuff, but that sounds pretty good about the environment. I guess the first thing I would do would be going to see a doctor to find out what's going on, because allergies can be real strange. My wife has allergies, and every morning she's got to take a pill just because of what's in the air here. So working around probably an enclosed area, I don't know what your ventilation setup is there, but it sounds like the environment might be a good starting spot. Over.
Thank you. Thought of another thing. It could be something that's not in the air. It could be radiation. I don't know what type of radiation might be set up with temperatures and metals. But that's another thing that can adversely affect the skin. And if he welds with no protection when he should have some on his arms and hands, that could be it too. KK4JBQ.
intersection. High frequency will burn you, you know, from a distance. Just with, I guess that's non-ionizing radiation, I guess. So, I mean, he's covered down. I mean, he protects his neck and his arms and hands. So, I'm just wondering if it's, he got a strange part in. He had to weld the other day. And I noticed the material was classified as stainless, but he commented several times that this stuff welds like butter, and stainless is just not that way. It had an ink stamp on it that was manufactured in Malaysia.
Certainly suspect. You have every right to suspect material that you know, that was sourced offshore, you might say. But then, too, if he's wearing protective gear, his skin is in contact with the gear. So there's, you know, surface against surface contact. It could be the gear that he's wearing. And if it's never shown up before, then it's perhaps okay to rule that out, but just another thing to think of. Whatever his skin comes in contact with, and yes, a dermatologist perhaps could classify what the problem is and help find a source of the offense, whatever is offending his skin. Doctor's a good idea. KK4JPQ.
NUE. Yeah, well, I'm going to keep an eye on it and see if it, I mean, we haven't changed anything as far as PPE goes. I know this is kind of out there, but I watched a documentary not too awful long ago about Chernobyl and how people will sneak into Chernobyl for the scrap metal and will, you know, sell the scrap metal, and then that gets melted down. Identifiable isotope in the radiation, and there have been studies done where they have found that isotope all over the world, where it was picked up as scrap and sold and then smelted into a new product. And I mean, it's scary to think about, actually. But that's kind of where my mind's going. I don't know, though. It's just, it's got me thinking a little bit.
Okay, 4JBQ. I was just listening to a report about Chernobyl and some of the other nuclear power plant accidents, Fukushima being another. But one thing that stands out from what I remember hearing is that nothing from Chernobyl will be safe for humans for another 30,000 years. That place is spooky. And what you're saying now is that the process opposite motive, which I wish we didn't. We weren't plagued with that. It's a good thing, but it's a bad thing when it comes to sourcing. Oh, I just didn't know that was going on. Sourcing from something that's as dangerous as a dragon, if they were real, you know. KK4JPQ.
KO4NUE, go ahead, take it.
Following what you've been saying, I don't really have much to add to it. I guess I come back to when I have problems like that, I go see an expert. You know what an expert is? He's somebody who knows everything about something to the point that he doesn't know anything about anything. But I think the dermatologist or a doctor who is used to finding allergies, because you said you haven't changed anything, but something obviously has changed to create that. And it may be just over time. Sometimes you can tolerate something, and then over time you wear out that tolerance, and that's when it starts taking over. That's where you get involved in allergies and things like that. And it may be something that he's eating. I don't know if you consider that. My stepson has gout. There are some things that he cannot eat, and he has to watch the labels on foods, because if they have something in there like Brussels sprouts or something or other, he can have real problems. Over.
Yeah, Roger that. Well, it's just something to think about. I'm going to keep an eye on what the material is from here on out. Or just, he has seen the doctor, my stepmother actually is a doctor. So we got our own doctor out here on the farm, which is kind of handy. But she's taking a look at it, and her first question was, you know, what's changed and what you're doing. And I can't think of anything that's changed, but that metal just keeps popping in my mind. I don't know. It's just something to think about.
This just popped into my head. Do you have access to a Geiger counter? Might be a good thing, because nasty stuff can hide in material that you might be working with, considering our conversation tonight.
Something as simple as some kind of laundry soap that's being used that's different might affect him, but not her, because there are things in those that might affect someone. The other thing, and I'll come back after I let the repeater go. Back in engineering, we had something called Kepner-Trigo. They wrote a book, a couple of engineers, about how to solve problems. Some very good examples of unknown things. One of their examples was in a factory. They had some major problems with quality because during some of the things were getting all messed up and they had to rebuild them. It was a manufacturing plant. Well, Kepner-Trigo said, the way to do this is, first of all, you want to determine what's going on, when it's going on, where it's going on, all leading up to why and what the actual problem cause is. They later found out that a diesel engine had stopped next to their intake vent, and the diesel fumes were going into the plant. And that's why I say you've got to look outside of the actual situation to what's surrounding it, and that may be where he's living. Over.
KO4NUE, like I said, I'm going to keep an eye on it and see kind of what happens. But he was, it's progressively gotten worse in the past couple of days. Started off on his hands, and it showed up on his knees today. So, and like I said, they look like ant bites, but they're about 3/16 in diameter. And they're really red, raised. So I don't know what to think. But I'm gonna go down there in the morning before he gets here and take a closer look and see if he's changed something that I'm not aware of. Sometimes he'll sneak a new product in or this, that, and the other, and just probably need to check that out, see if he's doing something different that I haven't spotted. Let me let the repeater drop. Me and Dad keep pretty persnickety about, you know, how you do things. Sometimes, sometimes I don't know why Dad does things. He doesn't tell me. He just says, you have to do it. You have to do it this way, and I trust that. Sometimes I probably need to ask what the reason is. So, what I'm getting at is, even though something may seem easier or a new product to clean the metal or whatnot, sometimes the easy way is not the best way, but I don't know. I'm gonna sneak down there in the morning and go through his toolbox and see if something's different. And just see, I guess.
Comment. KO4NUE, and I think it was KKFU or LBQ, Larry, KA3JC. Hey, Chad, I don't know if you store the metal outside, but I've been listening. I wonder if by chance if poison ivy or poison oak kind of grew up around some piles of stuff, and you go out and you pick up some of your pieces, can you bring them into the shack, and then when the high temperatures is causing the gas from the fumes from the poison ivy or poison oak to get in the air and then get on your skin, because a couple of years ago I ran into that issue where we had moved some wood that had poison ivy, poison oak on. When we burned it, the smoke got on our skins,
we all of a sudden, a bunch of us got poisoned ivy and so forth like that. That's what it was from. So there's an idea for you also, KA3JCA. Poison idea. I think you may be looking at the wrong thing because you think that's what the problem is where it is. You've described insect bites. I've had spider bites, and some of them have lasted, the remains of them have lasted for literally years. When a spider bites, it injects venom into its victim, if you will, and that starts the digestive process. That's why you'll see these little cocoons where spiders are. They've caught something, injected their digestive juices into the prey, and waiting for it to become partially digested before they go back and eat it. And it could be something like that, particularly since if you just described taking stuff in from outside, it could be insect bites. And I'm wondering what happens if your son doesn't go to work for a couple of days. And that might, if it continues, that might mean something. If it goes away, that might try give you some idea of just where the problem is. It's back to the Kebner Trigo. You can't look at the same thing over and over, you get the same results. And I think the problem is probably much broader than just in the shop. Over.
Before NUE, so to answer your question, Richard, the material that he goes and picks it up, it's pre-cut, you know, that require a lot of work to put the stuff together. It's wrapped in plastic, and it doesn't stay here long enough to be exposed to anything like that. My second guess would have to be possibly stress. Some of the stuff is, it's pricey material, very expensive material. And if he messes it up or doesn't read the print, then welds it wrong, then he has to eat it. And you're not just eating the material. You're paying for the material. You're paying for the machinist that machined it. You're paying for the guy who stocks it. You're paying for, So this, already expensive piece of material, by the time it gets to him, there's been, four or five laborers that's handled it. And, I'm thinking stress may be an option here too. So I'll have to do a little talking to him to see where he's at with it, I guess.
KK4JBQ. Ed, all of these are probably good things to run down, it seems like there's so many vectors of attack. And without a degree in one thing or another, I'm a little lost. I think it's gotten pretty complicated. But anyway, that's wow. I've taken notes here. If anything else occurs to me, I'll send you a text or something about it. But goodness, it's a little bit scary about how many things can attack us from all sides. Insects, radiation, things that we handle, and the air that we breathe. anyhow, the sure thing here is that it has to be attended to before and identified before too much longer. If it has progressed over a short period of time, it needs to be stopped before further damage can be serious. And if it's spread, if it's not isolated to his hands and his arms, if it's spread to other extremities, that's another alarm right there. KK4JBQ.